After finishing the first swim in history across the Atlantic Ocean, Ben LeCompte uttered two words, never again. Now, this Frenchman is jumping into the Pacific for a swim expected to take 5 to 6 months.
I'm not a fast swimmer.
But boy, is this Texas transplant dedicated.
Swimming is a passion, so it just comes back. You cannot push it away.
At 48 years old, LeCompte says he's worried about the future for his kids. He's diving back in to focus attention on environmental problems. During the swim, he'll collect data on the Pacific, the microbes, the trash, also on himself, on how his heart holds up for 8 hours of freestyle every single day. This data will go to a cardiologist at UT Southwestern, Dr. Benjamin Levine.
My question has always been, how much exercise do you need to do to injure the heart? And so since Ben was planning to swim across the Pacific Ocean, I thought, hey, maybe this would be a good opportunity.
It sounds a bit crazy. After all, we're told more exercise is better. And generally, it is. Yet several studies of extreme endurance athletes have called that idea into question. Dr. Paul Thompson is another cardiologist curious about the ways hardcore exercise affects the heart.
If you look at people who run marathons or good triathletes, one of the things that's been noticed is scarring or some fibrosis in their heart, right where the two sides of the heart kind of join each other. We call it the septum.
Thompson is chief of cardiology at the Hartford Hospital in Connecticut. He says this scarring at the septum is worrisome, particularly for people who have an underlying genetic condition that weakens the heart muscle.
A second area of concern is that it's been shown in a couple of studies now that people who are lifelong endurance athletes have more coronary artery calcification than you would expect for their risk factors.
In regular people, calcification usually means a buildup of cholesterol, not something you'd expect to find in people swimming the English Channel, running the Sahara, or tackling Ironman competitions. Thompson says there's likely an explanation, and most of us don't have to worry about either scarring or calcification. Remember, the question here isn't whether exercise is bad.
We don't think so. We don't think that long-term exercise is dangerous because long-term endurance athletes live longer than other people. But are there changes that happen in the heart? We think they are. Our point is to investigate them and figure out what's going on.
Which brings us back to Ben LeCompte. That's the guy swimming the Pacific, and the tricky task of monitoring his heart from the middle of the ocean. UT Southwestern's Levine has a plan and connections with NASA to help.
We're doing something called remote guidance echo.
Levine has used this technology to study astronauts' hearts on the International Space Station. But let's stay on Earth for now. In the ocean scenario, a small portable echo machine will be on the wooden support boat traveling with swimmer LeCompte. Once a month, LeCompte will turn it on and use a satellite phone to call a laboratory at Johnson Space Center. That's where he'll get coached remotely on how to use the probe to give himself an echocardiogram.
You rotate it 10 degrees counterclockwise, take a breath in, out, hold it, press the red button. Great.
From his desk in Dallas, Levine will see images of how fast LeCompte's heart is contracting, how quickly the blood flows in and out of the valves, and any stress where the two sides of the heart meet. The research could help show whether there's a limit to the amount of exercise the human heart can withstand.
You know, maybe if you swim every day for 8 months and get all the way across the Pacific Ocean, the heart looks just fine. Under those circumstances, I'd probably say to most people, don't worry about going for a swim.
LeCompte is anything but worried. He thinks his heart can handle some 20-foot-high waves, an enormous ocean garbage patch, and the occasional shark. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.